Amen, church. We have our seventh teaching from the book of Proverbs, and we have entitled it, The Path of the Righteous Shines Brighter. Amen. And we have our opening words. We have before us Solomon's sincere and loving appeal, where he taught and exhorted his son in wisdom that he may think and live according to godliness, experiencing the wondrous joys of wisdom. And since Solomon wrote as God, the Holy Spirit breathed out these words, as here recorded in the pages of Scripture, we comprehend that this is our Heavenly Father's words to us, whom he adopted into his household. Church, it's good to be members of the household of God. And all the church said, amen. And then we have these words of love from God the Father to his children, that we might live a wondrous life of godliness in the wisdom of God. Now, as we come to this text, it's pointed out that there are those who dismiss portions of the Bible saying that not all of it is God's word. They'll say some portion shouldn't be in there. Of course, that's opposed to those who say none of it is God's word. And that, of course, is opposed to us who know that all of it is God's word. Amen? But there are those who dismiss portions of the Bible saying that not all of it is God's word, and those are so inclined to say that about this portion of the text, pointing out here that Solomon didn't even mention the name of God. Well, Tremper Longman III writes saying that Solomon does not explicitly mention God. However, by invoking the two-path theology that dominates the first part of this book, we note exactly how theological his speech is. As described in this speech, the two paths include the path of wisdom, of which the Father has set the Son, and now he urges him to persist in that track. This contrasts the warning he issues the Son against going on the path of the wicked. By this time, we know that the Father's path is the one that God protects. It is the way of God. It is the path of life which leads to light. It is a path of light which leads to life, opposed to the darkness of the way of the wickedness. Two-path theology, he then writes, does not allow for a third path. There is not a compromising path. One is either on the straight path or on the crooked path. And so, as we have said previously, we must choose who we will serve. That is, we must choose which path to travel. Will we travel the path of wisdom and light or the path of evil and darkness, knowing that there is no road in between, there is no shade of gray? Basically, it comes down to this. Are we children of God? Will we traverse the path of light by receiving our Father's word, living an abundant life, or will we go our own way and die in our trespasses and sin? Look, if we belong to God, we will open his instruction to life and follow, knowing that it will go well with us. Or in arrogance, we can, like a rebellious know-it-all, refuse to open and refuse to follow his instruction to life and struggle throughout, coming to ruin. Be a fool and serve yourself and suffer for it, bearing the consequences of stupidity, having no one to blame but self. Or, church, be the wise son and live under the blessings of your Father, obediently following him, giving him glory and honor. With Solomon, having instructed his son in the path of wisdom, he now turns to warn him not to walk in the way of the wicked. He begins to contrast the two ways. So literally, having exhorted us to walk the path of wisdom, which is the ancient, unchanging path of life and success, we come to the 14th verse where our Father suddenly, in rapid-fire succession of prohibitions, tells us of the dark path that must be avoided altogether. You who are parents, do you want your children to suffer one harsh day? We don't want that. Do we want them to see them take one wrong turn? We don't want that. And family, neither does our Heavenly Father want us to suffer a harsh day or to take a wrong turn, but he wants us to stay on the true path of wisdom, which is the path of delight. Verses 14 and 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not proceed in the way of evil men. Avoid it. Do not pass by it, turn away from it, and pass on. Roman number one, wisdom refuses to go the way of evildoers. Don't go so far as to wiggle your toe up to the line. Do not think to taste of it. Stay so far away that you can't even see where evil begins. Letter A, church. Father says that we should not even so much as enter the path of the wicked. The goal then is not to come up to the line and see if we can walk the tightrope, but it's to stay so far away that we can say we've never seen the entrance to this path, let alone entered it. But let me tell you something. If you're looking for it, I'll tell you, you'll find it, as it's looking for you too. Like Cain, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is to have you. Beloved, if you're looking for it, if you want to flirt with it, you'll find it, and you won't just find it, but you'll enter in. Enter the path of the wicked, and my brother and sister, you'll find yourself where you never thought you'd be, in a situation you never dreamed of, even in your worst nightmares. And want out as you will, the sin with which you flirted will seek to hold you so tightly that she will not let you go without leaving its deep, pain-filled claw marks. Don't even pause to consider the path of the wicked. It's not for you. When I was a children's pastor for 25 years, I taught the children over and over again, saying, the way to be free from drugs is to never try them in the first place. To not even think of trying them. To determine now that if you're offered them, that the answer is no, and that you'll turn around and get out of there. If we don't allow ourselves to get within hand's reach, we don't have to worry about getting our hands on it. And so does this apply to all evil things. The way to prevent entering evil is to stay in the Father's house, never looking for the fool's exit. Determining today and every day to not so much as pause at the entrance of evil. Don't even think about it. Now, admittedly, living in this world, wickedness is all around us, and its path will present itself continuously, even without our looking for it. So as wisdom demands that we determine which way we will go beforehand, so must we obey the Father and not proceed in the way of evil men. If you have paused to consider the way of evil, if you have begun to travel that sordid path, then do not proceed, but with a repentant heart, turn and run to Jesus. If you will confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weighed down, and I will give you rest. Don't think about the path of evil. Don't enter it. But if you have, let me tell you, there is redemption. Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sin. Number one, concerning the path of the wicked and the way of the evil men, avoid it. Do not pass by. Turn away from it. Pass on. If some sinful thing allures you, then avoid it. Do not pass by it. Turn away from it. When I was a boy, the joke at my house was, don't let Tim near the water, because if he's near it, he'll fall in it. Actually, it wasn't a joke. It was true. If I was near water, I couldn't stay on my feet. I was like the demon-possessed kid of the Bible who was always falling in the fire, except I was always falling in water. My parents probably should have taken me to church for an exorcism. One of my earliest memories, and I'm not joking, when I was in diapers and not yet walking, my dad set me near the edge of a little swimming hole, and I vividly remember plopping into the water, opening my eyes, and seeing the reflection of light through the water, and my dad retrieving me, thanks be to God. All my life, I've heard my mom and dad say, stay away from the water. Don't see how close you can get. Don't go down to Duck Creek. I went down to Duck Creek in the middle of the winter. The ice is this thick. I fall through. Don't go down to the river. If I was near water, I was falling in. Look, church, if something tempts you, avoid it. Turn the computer off so you don't fall. Pass by the nightclub. Avoid stores where they sell alcohol. Turn away from romance novels. Don't befriend those who participate in sin. Come out from among them and be ye separate, and by doing so, you'll avoid the way of evil men. Why should we avoid such paths and those who travel them? Verse 16. For they cannot sleep unless they do evil, and they are robbed of sleep unless they make someone stumble. Man, these guys are evil. And you know something? You'll join them if you follow them. Such as these live and breathe evil. Evil has so permeated their being that they lay awake at night devising evil. Restless they are unless they've satisfied their evil passion. Psalm 36:4 says, he plans wickedness upon his bed. He sets himself on a path that is not good. He fails to despise evil. What a contrast between those who love evil and those who love Jesus. As we read previously, those who are wise have sweet sleep, but not the wicked. Those who love evil can't sleep unless they work evil, and those who love Jesus can't sleep when they work evil. Evil workers are so perversely driven that their wicked passions keep them awake and bored until they spill them out by doing harm. Their sin-stimulated energies won't allow them to rest until it is temporarily exhausted through the exhilaration of harming others. It was just about 3 weeks ago, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, when three teenagers in Duncan, Oklahoma, shot and murdered a 22-year-old Australian baseball player named Christopher Lane. He was simply jogging down the road, ran by their house. They followed him in the car, shot him with a 22. The reason they gave for their murder, we were bored. The evil which they allowed to fester in their hearts would not let them rest. So boredom sets in. Looking to satisfy evil's passion, they shot this young man in cold blood. I wonder if you asked them a day earlier if they were going to murder someone the next day, what their response would have been. I tell you, evil takes you where you do not think you will go, to do what you do not think you could do. Would you join such as these? No? Then do not enter their path, nor proceed in the way of them, for their way is evil. Verse 17, they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. What a miserable life. The fool has wickedness for their substance, violence for their drink. They are gluttons of wickedness and drunkards of violence and never satisfied. Never is it enough. Never is wickedness and violence enough for them. And do you know why? The reason wickedness and violence can never satisfy is because there's not one iota of satisfaction in them. Eat it and drink it as they would, still they go empty and searching. So ingrained is evil and violence in them that it is second nature, like eating and drinking. And like ingested food and drink, it becomes a part of them, and so has wickedness and violence become a part of them, so that they cannot be distinguished from what they practice. They're murderers. They're violent. These evil men whom we're told to shun and to not follow their path, they work evil because they themselves are evil. They work violence because they themselves are violent. And if you follow them, you will be evil and you will be violent. And then think of this. We are sure of what will come upon them. For the Lord says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Every evildoer and worker of violence will have their part in the lake of fire which burns forever. Open your Bible and see how God deals with those who deal treacherously with his innocent ones. Of old, it is said of the Lord, Deuteronomy 10:18, he executes justice for the orphan and the widow. Isaiah 1:23 through 24 says, your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves a bride and chases after rewards. Now, don't say anything about the government, okay? They do not defend the orphan, nor does the widow plea come before them. Therefore, the Lord of God of hosts says, the Mighty One of Israel declares, ah, I will be relieved of my adversaries and avenge myself on my foes. Jeremiah 5:28 through 29 confirms, saying, they are fat, they are sleek. They also excel in deeds of wickedness. They do not plead the cause of the orphan, that they may prosper. And they do not defend the rights of the poor. Shall I not punish these people, declares the Lord? On such a nation such as this, shall I not avenge myself? Brothers and sisters, in light of the end of evildoers, why would we join them? Where is there any wisdom in setting one toe on their path? Is this what you want for your life, to consist of the bread of wickedness and the wine of violence, all of which will culminate in the wrath of God upon our head? If so, then go ahead, be a walking dead man. But if not, then enter their path. Do not enter their path. Avoid it and live unto God. Number two, why should we decline to enter the path of the wicked, refusing to proceed in the way of evil men? Because they are so vile that they cannot sleep unless they work evil. Wickedness is their food and violence their drink. Look out! They are so permeated by their sin that if you do not avoid them, they will influence you, and God's wrath will be upon you also. Wisdom says, avoid such men. Get out, get away, don't stay in their presence, move on, pass by. Avoid them. Yes, but Pastor Tim, if I do that, I won't have any friends. Then let Jesus be your only friend. Besides that, get in church, find some friends. Yes, but then I'll be alone in school. Better than being a walking dead man at school, joining all the other walking dead men. Let your light shine in that dark place. I tell you, I know what that's like. When I was in high school, I had one friend there who was a Christian. He was older than me. The next year he was gone, and all of my high school, I did not have another Christian friend. So you know what I had? I had a bunch of people I was friendly to, but not very many friends. And you know, that was a preservation to me, because all these other people didn't invite me to the parties. Thanks be to God. I don't think I would have gone, but I didn't have to worry about it because I wasn't invited. Separate yourself. Avoid such men. Their end is ruin. Jesus is your friend. The Father will take care of you. Be satisfied in God. Amen? Be satisfied in him. Well, now we come to verses 18 and 19, and we see this great contrast between the two paths that are before us. Verses 18 and 19. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn that shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Here the paths are contrasted side by side, and we clearly see what Longman spoke of when he said Solomon presents the two-path theology. One is of God, one is not. Roman numeral 2, wisdom recognizes that there are only two paths for men to travel. There's wisdom. There's not three paths, there's not 18 paths. There's two. Wisdom or stupidity. Gods or selves. There is the path of righteousness and there is the way of the wicked. The path of righteousness refers to the well-trodden ancient road which God has laid out for his wise ones, for his godly ones. But the way of the wicked refers to the unknown mode of life, where in darkness each trudges through their own muck and mire. The righteous follow the ancient path laid before them, while the wicked live according to their fallen desires, making it up as they go. The righteous follow the Father's map, while the wicked violently hack their way through the jungle, not knowing where they go, where they come from, nor where they'll end. The wise know the meaning of life, the purpose of their life. The wicked don't get it. I feel sorry for them. I move with compassion for them. And it's one of the reasons why I preach the gospel, is so they might come to know God and his wisdom. Amen? Well, thus, letter A, the path of the righteous is like the light of the dawn. The path is known and revealed, making sure the steps of the wise. But the way of the wicked is like the darkness of night, where blindness prevails and fools carry on stumbling about. Praises to our Lord, church, the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter until the full day. Amen, it is true. Listen to me. Those who walk in the light of God's word, applying his wisdom to their steps, find that the more they travel wisdom's path, the more enlightened they become. Doesn't the way of Jesus for us become brighter and brighter? And aren't we more enlightened to his truth? And where when we first got saved, and maybe a few years afterwards, there were things that puzzled us, now we understand? Amen. As we who believe experience grace upon grace, so with wisdom. When we hear and continually apply the wisdom of God, wisdom is added to wisdom. But for the wicked, they stumble about. They don't even know what they're stumbling over. The fool has brought their own life to ruin, and the poor soul can't even recognize that they did it to themselves. It's everybody else's fault. In their blindness, they don't want to see that there's a lighted path to travel. For they're arrogant, and they sure don't want to admit they're wrong. They sure don't want to submit to the Father. The fool has wandered around in darkness. Their life is a mess, and whoever tries to show them the way will become the object of their scorn. These reject the light. They don't want the light. They're lovers of darkness and don't even know it. Oh, I tell you, sin is deceptive. Darkness has been their mode so long that they're convinced that they walk rightly, though yet one honest glance would show otherwise. Adam's right, saying that the way of the wicked is like a dense darkness, so thick they can't even tell what it is they're tripping over. That is to say, their ignorance is so great that they don't have the faintest idea why their lives are so miserable and why every seeming success turns out to be another failure. In their self-delusion, they do not see their own real and glaring failures, but are dead sure about their ability to see the failures of others, and dead sure that what they suppose of others is absolute truth. With them, darkness prevails, and they judge nothing rightly. So, family, which will you choose? The sure path of righteousness or the dark path of evil? Will you choose knowledge or ignorance? Growing light or growing darkness? God or self? Let go of that which is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Choose today, even now, while the sun still shines. Upon being warned to avoid the wicked and foolish, we are now exhorted to choose to travel the path of God, verses 20 and 21. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Rather than entering the path of the wicked, let us give our attention to Father's words. Rather than proceeding in the way of evil men, let us incline our ear to fathers' sayings. While we avoid the way of evil men turning away, let us turn to our Heavenly Father, not allowing one of his words or saying out of our sight. While we pass by the way of the wicked, let us keep Father's teachings in the midst of our heart. This is so difficult in the midst of sin to keep Father's teachings in the midst of our heart. Let her be. If God has given you ears to hear, then incline your ear to his wisdom and do what is wise. If God has given you eyes to see, then do not let the wisdom of God out of your sight, but do what is wise. Hear his wisdom, see his wisdom, and keep wisdom rooted deep in your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Devote your hearing and seeing to God. Be like Job and make a covenant with your eyes. And go beyond Job and make a covenant with your ears. Devote your hearing and your sight to God's word, keeping the wise words and saying of God in the midst of your heart. The heart is the innermost being, the place of our core personality. Our Father is not interested in superficial action. He is not. As a matter of fact, I would tell you, superficial action is an abomination to him. Our Father is not interested in superficial action, nor is he interested in mere behavior modification. But our God, our Heavenly Father, desires that his wisdom be central to our being, dominating us in the very core of our being. Then we will do what's right. Then wisdom will motivate us. Then we will be people of righteousness. Remember in the Old Testament? Now, I'm not going to recall the book. I think it's Amos. Remember? In one of the books of the Old Testament, the Lord says, I hate your festivals. I hate your new moons. I hate all these things. And here they are doing the things that God says to do. And he says, why? Because your hearts are far from me. He wants a contrite, right heart. Then the festivals mean something. Otherwise, they are an abomination to him. God does not want superficial action or mere behavior modification, but he wants right hearts. He wants his wisdom to be central to our being, dominating us, motivating us in everything. Dear family church, let us join with the psalmist singing the lyrics of Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. This is in perfect agreement with Psalm 37:31. The law of his God is in his heart. His steps do not slip. In Psalm 40 verse 8 says, I delight to do thy will, O God. Thy law is within my heart. Church, that we would keep wisdom in the midst of our heart, then we could sing with the psalmist, Psalm 119, 97 through 105. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. I have restrained my feet in every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thy ordinance, for thou thyself hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yet sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. That song, the psalmist's song, will be ours if we give attention to Father's words, inclining our ear to his saying, not letting his words depart from our sight, keeping his sayings in the midst of our heart. Family, Let us devote ourselves to God and His wisdom. And then blessings will come to us. 4, verse 22 through 23. For they are life to those who find them, and health to all their whole body. Watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Well, church, did you hear that? Letter C, Father's words are life to those who find them. They are health to our entire body. Therefore, we must watch over our heart, guarding it with all diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. Just as the physical heart is at the center of the body, pumping life-giving blood to the rest of the body, providing health and life for all the body, so with the soul that is taken in and receives the all-wise God and His wisdom. If we will hold His wisdom deep in our heart, it will be like a wellspring of life, sending an abundance of life to every part of our being, permeating every word with life, infusing every act with life, ministering life in every relationship. Therefore, this is number one, therefore, precious soul, guard your heart above all that you guard. Put your priority here. Guard your wisdom, your heart, by keeping it on God's good path of wisdom. Well, how do we guard our heart? What is God's good path of wisdom? Verse 24, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious lips far from you. It is from the overflow of the heart that the mouth speaks. The fruit of our lips has its root in the depth of the heart. What comes out of the mouth is a reflection of what's in our heart. Here's how one guards their heart. Here is the way of wisdom. Letter A, they put away deceit and that which is deviant. Deceit and that which is deviant, we know that's in our heart when our words show it. Put away deceit and that which is deviant, which when present will overflow out of the mouth, being made evident by our words. Ask people, what do you think of my speech? And then be prepared to hear. And those who flatter you, don't listen to them. Those who tell you something you didn't want to hear, listen to them. To guard our heart, we need to purge it. Purge it of that which God hates and fill it with that which God loves. We purge our heart by putting away deceit and that which is deviant and by filling it with that which is wise and true. We must replace that which makes for foolishness with that which makes for wisdom. Put away deceit and that which is deviant. How else do we guard our heart? Verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Purify your heart first, and then set your course. If you're running a race and you want to slow down and stumble, then start gawking around. You want to lose a race, look for your parents up in the crowd and start waving at them. Everybody else will run by you. If you would run the race and finish the course, gaining the victor's crown, then fix your eyes straight away on the goal. When one is learning to play baseball, we tell them to keep their eye on the ball. When one in a pro football game drops an easy pass, the commenter will also often say, they looked away. When one goes fishing and they're going to cast, we tell them to look to where they want to cast. And we tell drivers to keep their eye on the road. If you look around, you'll get distracted and worse, miss the mark. So with wisdom, if you look about, setting your eyes on that which is evil and wicked, if you don't set your eyes on Jesus Christ, you will falter. Guard your heart. Letter B. Look to Christ and Him alone. Fixing your eyes on the author and perfecter of your faith. Let His word be like frontlets on your eyes and be not distracted. Follow Him only. Love His words of wisdom even as you love Him. Cherish His words of wisdom even as you cherish Him. And don't fool yourself. If you do not love His word and you do not cherish His word, then you don't love Him and you don't cherish Him. Would you guard your heart? Yes, then, verse 26, watch the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Again, the eyes are involved, and of course they are. Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. If your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. Matthew 6, 22 and 23. The ancient path of wisdom is clearly placed before us. So let us guard our hearts. Let us see. Watch the path of your feet, carefully observing wisdom and making sure that it is on her sure path that you skillfully place your feet. And if we will watch the path of our feet, then our ways will be established. When we walk with the Lord, in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. Amen. The path of the wise is established. The path we trod is without guess and mystery, for our Father established this path from long ago. If we walk in the wisdom He established, then our ways will be established. On the way of wisdom, church, listen, on the way of wisdom, there are no dangerous cliffs. He takes us to green pastures, to still waters. On the way of wisdom, there are no loose rocks. There's no roots to stumble over. There's no sinking sand. But all is established and sure as God Himself. Oh, I understand. Wisdom lies before us, and we get afraid to travel that path. But if we trust in the Lord and fear Him only, we'll understand there's nothing to fear on traveling that path. It's for our best. It's for the right. It's established. Those who choose the path of wisdom have nothing to fear, for wisdom is the path established by God for His people. And let me tell you something about God. He will not fail. As Deuteronomy 5, 32, I missed my scripture here. Let me read verse 27. How else do we guard our path? Verse 27, do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. Now, Deuteronomy 5, 32 and 33 and 12, 32 says, so you shall observe to do just as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right or to the left. You shall walk in all the way which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you possess. Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to, nor take away from it. Our Heavenly Father, who loves us so that He gave His only begotten Son for us, purchasing us with His blood, that we would be His own, here lovingly instructs us as daughters and sons to be careful how we walk, not deviating from the path of wisdom, not going to the right or the left, not adding to or taking away from the word, but sticking right there. We must direct ourselves away from evil. We must walk the straight and narrow path of Christ, our righteousness. There is only one wise God, and He is all wise. Our wisdom flows from Him. Follow Him. Letter D. Do not turn away from wisdom, neither to the right or the left, for any deviation from wisdom's established straight and narrow path is to turn to evil. Turn your foot from evil. This is the wisdom of all-wise God. So we come to our closing words. Choose today who you will serve. Come on, make a choice. And you must make a choice that covers all your choices. Make a choice. Will you apply God and His Word to everything about you or not? Do you think you'll successfully serve God in this area, but not in this area? Make a choice. Choose today who you will serve. Make a choice. Choose the dark path of the fool and die a fool's death, or choose the bright and shining path of righteous wisdom and share in the life of God. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Beloved, this is the wisdom of God. Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Heavenly Father, Your goodness is before us. The path of wisdom is laid out. Oh God, have mercy on us and help us, oh Lord, to choose rightly. Give us good sense, oh Lord. Oh Lord, remove ignorance and stupidity. Drive foolishness from us even with the rod, if necessary. Lord, we are in desperate need of Your wisdom to hear it and know it and live it. To choose today and moment by moment every day to follow the path, the ancient path that You have laid out for us. Help us, O Lord, not to look around and to enter the paths of evil men. Help us to pass them by, to avoid them, to pass on, to not follow in their paths. Help us, O God, to see Your Word and to run quickly to be doers of Your Word, knowing that that is the path that is established. Lord, let us not be content to move to anything that is darkness, evil, wicked, and sinful. As it is our fallen nature, Lord, to want to flirt with disaster, oh God, may we decide today that we will not come close, that we will stay far away, that we will be glad in Your house with as many mansions, not looking for the fool's exit. Keep our hearts and our minds, O Lord, and may You keep us as You have commanded us to keep ourselves, to keep Your Word and Your sayings deep in the midst of our heart. Not, Lord, so that we will see that we have done some good things, but we will see that the Christ is living in us. And therefore, it is Christ who has His way in us. It is Christ who lives through us. The life we now live will be that life that is lived by faith in Jesus Christ, who died for us. Help us, O God, to be a people of wisdom. And Lord, I suppose as long as we're studying Proverbs, I am utterly amazed at Your Word. and each little portion that we study, if we would but apply those few words, our lives would radically change, be lined up with you, and what blessings would flow. Oh God, help us not to be hard-hearted, thick-headed fools, but to grasp a hold of your sayings and your word, to cherish them, and to live by them. We know, Lord, then our steps will be established, we will not stumble, and you will be glorified. Thank you, Lord, for being our Father. Thank you, Lord, for setting your love on us even before we were born. Thank you for giving your Son for us even while we were yet sinners. Now, may we follow our Father in paths of righteousness. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, I pray. Amen.